Today's parsha is Parshas Bamidbar, the first parsha in the book of Bamidbar. The word Bamidbar means in the desert, and the storyline picks up where we left off at the end of the second book of the Torah, where the Jews have now come to Har Sinai, to Mount Sinai. We received the Torah. We unfortunately sinned with the golden calf. Hashem forgave us and gave us yet more spiritual energy after the forgiveness. And Hashem commanded us to build the Mishkan, the first temple. And we actually built the Mishkan, and we operated the Mishkan, this first temple, for a full month after the dedication. And now the book of Bamidbar opens up to this point where we're just about a year after leaving Egypt. And we are now going to be in the desert. The original plan is that it's going to be only for a few weeks, a short amount of time, and we're going to go straight to Israel. Unfortunately, we're going to read later in the book of Bamidbar that the Jews are questioning Hashem's ability to bring them into Israel and to conquer the various tribes that were living in Israel at the time. And because of that, we end up staying in the desert for a full 40 years. So that's the story of Bamidbar. It takes us during that period of time, which is a year after leaving Egypt, up until 40 years later, when we are about to enter the land of Israel and Moshe is about to pass away. That's the book, fourth book of the Torah, the book of Bamidbar, which again means in the desert. In the Midrash, in the writings of the Chachamim of our sages, the book of Bamidbar is called Chumash HaPikudim, which means the book of the counting, the book of numbers. And in fact, in Latin, the name of this fourth book is Numbers. That's the English book, the English name. The Latin name originally was Numbers, even though the Hebrew name is Bamidbar, which means in the desert. But that's even what our sages have called it, Chumash HaPikudim, the book of counting, the book of numbers. Pikudim actually means of counting, of taking a census. And with Parsha opens up that Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron together, I would like you to take a census of the Jews at this point. You're about to travel away from Mount Sinai. As I mentioned, we were there for just about a year. And I would like you to take a census of the Jewish people. And now we're going to go on to the next step, which is heading toward the land of Israel, heading towards the inheritance that Hashem had given as a promise to the Jewish people all the way back from the time of Abraham, who himself lived in Israel for over 100 years. We find, and Rashi makes this comment, we find that Hashem told Moshe to count the Jewish people three different times. And each of those times, the Jews were counted individually. They were counted, not every single Jew, because interestingly, the Torah says, count for the males of age of 20 and up. So not even the younger males, and none of the women were counted in this count, which leads us to the logical conclusion that whatever number was given, you have to at least triple it, or close to triple. And it turns out that in each of those counts, there were about 600,000 males over the age of 20. And the Chumash gives logical reason for that counting, because this is called Yotzei Tzava, the people who are of draft age. So ostensibly the count was for a draft. How many soldiers, in case we need the soldiers, in case we need to go to battle or to do something that requires some unified force, not just to count the people, how many are there? And it turns out that there were a little over 600,000 in each of those counts. The Rebbe has the following beautiful explanation. The Rebbe says, quoting Rashi, Rashi tells us that mitoch chibasan, since the Jewish people are very much beloved by Hashem, therefore Hashem counted us these various times. And Rashi, actually, the language of Rashi is kol shah, all the time. So Rashi essentially says that since the Jews are so beloved by Hashem, Hashem loves us so much, He counts us all the time. And that's Rashi's language, and Rashi is quoting the Midrash. The Rebbe asks the following questions. First of all, we were only counted three times, not all the time. Second of all, the count was done differently, and the instructions for taking the census of the Jewish people, initially the first two counts, Moshe had to take the census, and for the third count, Moshe was instructed to include Aaron together with him. The Rebbe says, why is that? Why was Aaron included in being in charge of taking the third census? The Rebbe further asks that if in fact this count was, you know, as one can understand, not every minute, but every time something significant happened. So the first count was when the Jews left Egypt. The second count was when we worshiped the golden calf and we subsequently did teshuva. We subsequently repented from that worship and we became a much better people. And the third count was when the Jewish people were about to leave Har Sinai, to leave the Sinai desert where we had established the Mishkan, and to begin to travel towards Israel. So we understand that those are three distinct states, three times that, you know, really significant things happened to us, leaving Egypt, becoming a new nation of repenters after Balei Teshuva, after worshiping the golden calf, and third, of finally becoming sort of grown-up adults and marching now towards our promised land. So the Rebbe asks, if that's the case, that as soon as the Mishkan was completed, Hashem, and we did the service in the temple, Hashem wanted to count us, why wait for an entire month till the first day of the month of Iyar, which was when the third count, the count that we're reading about in our parsha, was taken? Why not count the Jews immediately, as soon as the Mishkan has begun, a month before? The Rebbe answers all of these questions as follows. When the Torah tells us that Hashem counts the Jewish people, the first and the obvious question is, why? Why? Hashem doesn't need to count anything. Hashem knows how many Jews there are without a count. What's the point of the count? Obviously, it's not for Hashem. It's not for God's purposes. He doesn't need the count. So the logical answer and the only conclusion you come to is it's for us. Hashem wants us to know how many Jews there are, meaning how many Jews of battle-ready Jews, Jews ready to go out and conquer the world and to make a big change, to make a some huge difference in the outside world. So we'll talk soon about the role of the women in establishing the home front and establishing the strength, the true strength of the army, but that's not what we're focusing on right now for a moment. So the census, therefore, the Rebbe explains, of the counting the Jewish people was for the purpose of letting us understand how powerful we are. So, you know, you have these countries, mostly communist countries, even the United States also, that what they do on their Independence Day, they have a show of military force, tanks and airplanes and soldiers marching down the main street, and a whole parade, a military parade on the day that they became nation or independent or whatever. Why is that? Who are they? They're not attacking anybody. Why do they have the army out? And the answer, of course, is they want to show the people and themselves how powerful, look at this, look how powerful I am, look how mighty we are. And the Jewish people were counted for the same reason that Eva explains. For us to understand how powerful, how mighty, how capable we are. And therefore, the language of Rashi is mitoch chibasan, because of the love that Hashem has for what we can accomplish. Monenos kolsha, we are continuously buoyed. We are continuously elevated, continuously energized by the fact that Hashem is counting us. So it doesn't mean that Hashem counts us literally every minute, but it does mean that every minute we have energy from the fact that Hashem considers each and every one of us important. And that's another very, very powerful message that the Rebbe derives from this counting. The point of counting individuals and arriving at a census is not to show how each person is different. It's not to show how the scientists are scientists and the doctors are doctors and the workers are workers, the blue collar are blue collar and the white collar is white collar and so on. That's not the point of making a census. The point of making a census is exactly the opposite. It's to show that in spite of the fact that there are people who are blue collar and white collar and smarter and richer and not as rich and poorer and just ordinary, in spite of all that, every single individual counts equally, because in a count, in a census, the smart guys, the rich guys, don't get a bigger sum of none, a bigger number, contribute a bigger number to the total than the simple guys. Every single person counts the same. If that's the case, why would that be? Obviously, people are not worth the same, not when it comes to salaries, not when it comes, but of course, the answer is, of course, everybody's worth the same. Everybody's life is the same. Everybody has neshama. Everybody has equal opportunity and equal ability to influence and change the world in the way that they're supposed to change the world. And that's the message, Rebbe says, of the counting. Each Jew is supposed to know that when it comes to our neshama power, when it comes to our spiritual energy, each of us is actually the same, not the same that we do the same job, because then we wouldn't be the same. Then we would not be living up to our individual capabilities and responsibilities. But no, each of us has equal opportunity to live life in the holiest manner and the most effective manner that Hashem wants us to live our life, meaning each of us has individual tasks, but each of us has equal ability to fulfill that individual task to a T, to 100%. The Rebbe goes on and explains that that's why Hashem counted us in each of these three times specifically. Because when you're talking about energizing an individual, you're talking about, if the purpose of this count was, and which clearly it was, to energize the Jewish people, not just that Hashem should know how many Jews there are, but to give us Jewish people the energy to fulfill our spiritual mission, our divine mission, our purpose in living life, which is to become a nation who is a mamleches kohanim, which means a nation of priests, a nation of holy people, goy kadosh, a holy nation, then that's the purpose. Then there are three different stages, Rebbe explains, that a person accesses, or a person has is being influenced by what's deep inside of them. So if Hashem is...
Rebbe, I'm sorry. Yeah. I have a question before you go on. Yeah. So we were counted three different times, and only the men were counted, or the other two times women were counted as well with half shekel? And then why... we don't count the Jews if it's so important to count us to give us an ability to fulfill our mission? I'm confused. It's important, and the shamans are important. Why do they count us? And then why don't we count Jews if counting us actually elevates us?
So the answer to these questions is no. The technical answer is no. The women were not counted. And not even, as I mentioned, were all the men counted. It was only men from the age of 20 and up. And the Torah says, in the Chumash, where it says to count, it says, count kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael, count all those people that are of draft age. So ostensibly, if you're reading the Chumash itself, without getting into homiletics and deeper meanings and so on, but in the Chumash itself, it says, take a census of draft age guys, which is logical. Women didn't go out to go and to the army until very recently. Women were not in the army at all. Draft age is 20 years old. You know, as we have a draft at 18 or whatever it is. But the Torah thought draft age is 20. So that's why the census was given. Having said that, it's logical and it's understood that what is the point of an army? An army doesn't protect themselves. An army protects the home front. An army protects the women, the children, and the people who can't go out and fight. So there's no such thing. And this is one of the beautiful things that we believe as Jews, that unfortunately the secular world used to believe, but doesn't understand it anymore. They're all mixed up because of from self, and this is total parenthetic comment, I don't want to get off track here, but you ask the question, so I'll answer the question. From total selfishness, lack of patriotism, lack of nationalistic spirit, lack of community spirit, lack of humility, because of total selfishness, our secular world today has lost the ability to understand this important concept that we, each of us, really knows deep down when it comes to a family unit. A husband and a wife fulfill very different roles, but biologically and also emotionally and also just the way it is in a household. But yet each one is critical and important. One is not more important than the other. You need both at the same time. When it comes to a country, various people fulfill different roles, each one equally important. When it comes to an army, it's the place where you can see it the most clearly. The Air Force is the Air Force, and the Navy is the Navy, and the Marines are the Marines, and the Army on the land is the Army on the land. And if this guy decides he wants to fly planes and not go in the sea, and this guy decides he wants to be marching or doesn't want to, then the Army is a messed up Army. You have to have each person doing their job. And when it comes to our mission in life, we are the same. We are Hashem's army. Where does it say that? It says so in the Chumash. When Hashem took us out of Egypt, we are called Tzivos Hashem, the army of Hashem. It says it right there in the Chumash. As soon as we're taken out of Egypt, Hashem gives us the title, you are my army. And an army, everybody understands, an army is a group of people that are assembled to fulfill a specific task. That task usually is protecting the home front, protecting those who are not able to go into the army and who are staying home and who are building what the country really values. So when you take a look at the totality of an army versus the citizens who are home, who is more important, the army or the citizens? Well, the answer is the citizens. The citizens are the ones who the army is ready to give up their life to save and protect. So who is more important, the men who are counted or the women who are not counted? But that's the reason the men are being counted, is to understand and know that the men have to fulfill their task of doing what? Of providing and making an envelope, making a place which is safe and secure so that the women can be on the home front and raise the true riches of the Jewish people, the true wealth, the true assets that the Jewish nation, and then in fact any smart nation, values, which is their next generation, their future, their eternity, their children, and of course themselves, in order to fulfill their own mission. So as I said, this is unfortunately a very terrible thing that we're living through all over the world today, where people are so wrapped up in themselves that they don't understand the idea of working as a team. A team means a larger team, where each of us don't work for ourselves. We work for the betterment of the whole, of the good of the whole society. And the whole society means that everybody has to be doing different things, not the same things. We're all doing the same things. We're not a team. It doesn't work that way. Just logic is logic, and people lose that logic when it comes, unfortunately, to the big picture. In the small picture, they all understand that. But the big picture, their mind shuts down and they don't understand the concept of working as a huge team, as a large corporation, as a huge army. Anyway, the Torah is here to straighten out our thinking and to make us think straight. And when the men were counted for draft age, it does not mean the women were not counted. It means that the men were energized to fulfill their job to protect the women and children and to create spiritual, safe spaces. That means places where the Torah is respected, places where the Torah and the Torah's way of living life is able to be done, fighting against all kinds of assimilation and all kinds of atheism. That's what the Jewish army fights against, not just against a guy like a Hitler or a Stalin or whoever is, an Arafat or whoever. We have to fight a Hamas or a Jihad, whoever. Anyway, that's a little parenthetic statement. So getting back to this census. So the census is three times. The Rebbe explains that the three different times, there's three different ways that you can energize a person. You can either energize a person, give him a jolt momentarily. God forbid the person has a heart attack, some kind of a heart problem, and has collapsed, fainted. So you take the paddles, the defibrillator, and you give the person a jolt of energy. Their heart was not working, unfortunately. The electricity was off, whatever reason. But you get there in time. You restart the electrical pulses in the heart, and the person wakes up and gets back to themselves. So that's one way of energizing a person. Yes, you gave them energy. Yes, you woke them up, but they're not really woken up. It's just you're pushing them in the moment. And what are you pushing them? You're pushing them to do something that's deep inside themselves that they don't really have the capacity to do on their own. You gave the defibrillator. You gave the jolt of electricity. It did wake up the heart. Obviously, if God forbid the heart is so far gone, the defibrillator is not going to wake the person up even for a period of time. But you got to keep defibrillating. You got to keep on waking up, because the person's heart really isn't working properly on their own. The Rebbe says that example is when we left Egypt. When we left Egypt, we were on a very low spiritual level. Hashem counted us, and Hashem gave us energy. And Hashem gave us the understanding that, yes, we each have an individual neshama, men, women, and children. We each have an individual power. But we lapsed right away. We went back into the ways of the Egyptians. We went back to the worship of the golden calf. It didn't take. The Rebbe says, you can compare this to a person who's faced with, some anti-Semite telling you, I want you to convert, I want you to change your religion. And even the most uneducated, the most unobservant Jew, when it comes to major mitzvahs, is me, I'm a Jew, I'm never going to do this. I don't do this mitzvah, that mitzvah, but I'm a Jew, I'm never going to become a Christian. What are you, crazy? I'm never going to become whatever. So the Rebbe says the Jews were counted at that moment. It gave us energy and it woke us up, but it didn't have the effect that we should be self-motivated. Then the Rebbe says there's another level, higher level. And that higher level is you are counted, you're energized, you're woken up, you're ready, but you haven't really changed. Meaning intellectually you're there, but you're not emotionally there. You're not fully there. So a person is not so far gone that they need the terrible event in their life to wake themselves up to the fact that they're Jewish. There's the proud Jew, but you're not really self-motivated. Without constant maintenance, you can slip back into whatever it is, and however everybody else acts. If you leave to your own devices, and you could become assimilated, God forbid, you could become indifferent to the power of Judaism. And that is the second time the Jews were counted. After we became Baal Teshuvahs, after we all were repented from the golden calf, Hashem counted us, gave us energy, and we were intellectually there. That means we understood we had done something wrong. We understood we had done something terribly wrong. We understood we were supposed to be totally different people. But we didn't yet start actually being proactive. So internally we were okay, but we were not proactively making an impact on the world, influencing, because that's, of course, the ultimate test of a person's state of mind. If you really believe that something is important to be done, and so on, the important way to live your life, so are you proactive, or are you just simply sitting back and waiting for something to happen? The third time that we were energized, which is after the Mishkan was actually built, and not only right away, the Rebbe says, but an entire month after we were already working on the Mishkan for an entire month, meaning we were already doing the divine service, we were already bringing the energies down into the world, we were already working on ourselves, Hashem then counted us, energized us, made us realize, as we're explaining, that this counting is something that makes us realize how special we are, made us realize how much power we really have in order to actually go out there, take the material world, make it into a spiritual space. No matter what comes our way, we should be able not be thrown by it, but actually use it all the incidents, all the stuff that happens to us throughout our lives that should know not only not to get us down, but we actually use those incidents to be able to learn and grow and change and take the energy like jujitsu, you know, take the energy thrown at us and throw it right back and actually use the negative, whatever it is or what appears to be negative, because at the end of the day, it's all Hashem's creation. So there's nothing really negative. So that is the third counting. And the Rebbe explains that therefore Aaron was included in the third counting, because Aaron is the one who is the father of all the Kohanim. He is the one who helps us as a Jewish nation fulfill our mission, which is to elevate the material world and to make the entire universe aware of the creator, of Hashem's presence. Humans, animals, plants, minerals, all the levels. And that was the service in the temple, in the Mishkan, and the Beis HaMikdash included all those levels. So that is why this book is called the Book of Counting, the Book of Census Taking. It's a story of us going out into the Midbar, into the desert, and that is another way of saying the entire world, because the entire world is unaware, even though it's not a desert, beautiful, lush islands, beautiful, amazing, wonderful places. But until we, the Jewish people, fulfill our mission and do our mitzvahs, the world, meaning the materiality, the physical world, doesn't appear to be a place where Hashem is present. It's our job to uncover Hashem's presence in the world. It's our job to go out into what was previously a desert and to make the desert bloom. That means to make the material world ourselves first, our family second, our city, our neighborhood third, our country fourth, and the entire world. It blossoms out like that, like ripples from a stone that you throw into a brook, into a pond. And that's our job. And that leads me back to the beginning, which is, of course, the most important thing. And that is, in the Mishkan itself, we find that the women took, and this is, again, the Rebbe's comment on this week's Parsha, that the women took initiative before the men to build the Mishkan. When Moshe came and told the Jews, Hashem wants you to create a sanctuary, Hashem wants you to create a holy space, Hashem wants you to create a place from which all future generations of Jews will become energized, the women stepped up before the men, both in giving donations and also in doing the actual work for building the Mishkan. When it came to the service, of course, the men were doing the service. But again, this is, as I mentioned previously, the teamwork between men and women, each a person individually and each type of people, men, women, children, older people, younger people, has a specific and a different holiday of Shavuos, which we're going to celebrate this coming Thursday night and Friday, the first day of Shavuos. We're going to read about the Ten Commandments. We're going to read about the mission.
That women did not participate in the sin of the golden calf. They did not give their jewelry, so it was just the men. And interesting enough, when Mishkan was built, they were the first to bring their jewelry and everything for the gold and for the creation of the Mishkan. So it was, we say that women are inherently connected to Hashem, and they're maybe like on a higher spiritual level. They don't need to wear a kippah to remind them.